Hello?
Hello. This is Mr. Curry. A call came in from your number yesterday about 1 p.m. when I was out. I haven't been able to find any message, but just the caller ID. So I was returning the call. I don't know what it was about.
Gotcha. Yes, Mr. Curry. I believe we were calling you yesterday concerning your property at, one second here, let me pull up your account. It's at 749 Albro. I was just reaching back out to you. You'd spoken with, I believe, Zach a few months back about it. Have I caught you at a bad time?
Well, not too bad. I have a doctor's appointment on the phone later, but not yet. Now, that property is in Colonial Beach, Virginia, Westmoreland County. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I've heard of Westmoreland.
Okay.
And the phone must be breaking up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you pretty good. There's a little reverberation from the room, but other than that, it's plenty loud enough.
Got you. Could you tell me again what you were saying about Westmoreland?
I said the property is a single-family detached manufactured home, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, unoccupied, fully paid for, in Colonial Beach, Virginia, Westmoreland County.
Got you. And yes, no, we had spoken to you a few times about this property, and I had ample notes of the situation that was going on. You spoken with a few individuals, Zach and also B. Holland here, about it, and they said that, you know, you guys were looking to sell that property. It was just, you know, a family matter of, you know, getting everybody on board. Is that correct?
Yeah, all except one are on board. The one that's not, well, the one that's, shall we say, holding up the whole thing is my sister, Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L,
yes.
Curry Amisio, A-M-I-S-I-A-L. She lives down in Newport News, Virginia. She, for some reason, doesn't want us to sell it. She says, well, I want to go through the same agent that Daddy used when he bought it. Well, that agent's been dead for years. I told her that. Anyhow, Mr. Pigott was his name. But and she doesn't want to doesn't want to let us sell it direct to somebody who wants to pay the closing costs and buy it as is, where it is, direct, and be done with it.
Yeah.
I don't have money to fix it up. She's not volunteering any to fix it up. You know, why waste money on commissions and fees that you don't have to? It's asinine.
Yeah.
Everybody except her has said, okay, we got Joe Blow here, wants to give us $10 for this. Let's sell it to Joe Blow for $10 instead of going through XYZ Corporation and selling it to Sally Smith over here for $8 and paying the other people another $5, and net result is we get less money.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. I mean, it's pretty logical to just avoid the hassle, get what you can get, and wash your hands, you know, especially.
So I told her last time, I said, you want to sell it through an agent, you get an agent, you sell it, and then you give us the money that we are supposed to have. Or put it in a fund or whatever, and we'll let the courts tell you what we are supposed to have if you can't agree on it.
Yeah. No,
but letting it sit there like it is, it's just going to get worse shape over time.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pay more taxes and more utilities to keep it there.
Yeah, and you know, the condition does matter. You know how much you can get for it now. So every year passes.
Because we had 3 buyers lined up for it last year. They were all bidding for it, and 2 of their bids were very good, and I would have said, yeah, you know. One guy was offering $145 for it, and as far as I'm concerned, $145 is a good price, as is where it is.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, and I'm sure it's a pain to have that hold up from, you know, just getting a good
I mean, it's not like it just happened. Our father died around September the 5th, 2005, almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
This sister has occasionally spent a night there, you know, as she travels between places and all. It's a convenient place. She just stopped there, make herself at home, go to bed. There's bedding on the bed. There's, you know, everything. Everything you need to live there is there, basically, except food, you know.
Yeah,
you bring your own food. You have to turn the water on or bring water with you because we turn the water off.
But, gotcha. You know, crazy. I didn't expect you to say 2005. That is a long time, almost 20 years to be dealing with it.
That's correct.
Yeah, no, I now definitely...
She already has two houses. She has a house in Montgomery County, which is paid for, and she has this house in Newport News that she just got last year, which she's paying for.
Uh-huh.
She has a lot of help paying for it because of her militarily disabled husband who gets 100% disability and a real estate tax exemption for the house they live in. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't get all that.
Yeah, no, it's not many people do, so it's definitely, you know, sucks that she's using her situation against other individuals. You know?
Yeah, against her little sister and her two brothers.
Yeah, that definitely isn't right at all. So I definitely tried to contact Cheryl
mm-hmm.
as of yesterday, I think, just to verify her number, if you could. It's 301-592.
I can't verify it right now. I have bad eyes. I'm in bed, and I don't have a phone book here in bed with me. With difficulty, I could this cordless home phone I have has numbers stored in its memory. When I want to call her, I usually pick up the phone and go through the memory. Oh, there's Cheryl, and push a button.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, to do that while I'm talking on it is a little tricky. Sometimes
yeah.
I can do it without it disconnecting. Other times it disconnects.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. That does make sense. I mean, what we can do is I definitely will give that number a call again. We've tried to keep track of the numbers that she has to help you guys.
I think I gave you at least two numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we actually have three.
But she's the type like this. If she doesn't recognize the caller, she don't want to pick up.
Yeah.
I told you, I think when I gave you the number, good luck talking to her.
Yeah. No, I definitely, we're persistent, and I know you guys have been working on this for a while. So, I mean, I'll do what I can in this scenario.
Now, I'll tell you, if there was some kind of way that you had somebody with some kind of real estate, Redfin, Long and Foster, whatever, some place that's known that you could work through, she might be more amenable. I mean, if we have to pay them a few $1,000 to get it done, I guess that's better than sitting on it for another 20 years.
Yeah, I can understand that. And then, I mean, one of the positives of us at CVA is we actually are able to work it whatever way you'd like to. So we're able to list.
Now, what is CVA? You keep talking about CVA. What is it?
Yeah, so we're a company based in Ashland, Virginia.
No, what is CVA? What does the C stand for? What does the V stand for? What does the A stand for?
You know, honest to God, I'm not sure myself. I just, I can say I just have definitely gotten used to the acronym. I mean, but I'd have to ask the owner himself as to why he named CVA, but our parent company is Forest Buys Houses.
Your parent company is what now?
Forest Buys Houses.
Forest Buys?
Yeah, houses.
Buys Houses?
Yes. Yeah. And through that, we're affiliated with EXP Realty, so we're able to, you know, work a situation that is best if Cheryl is dead set on listing it. I mean, we can do so so in a simple, easy manner that gets you guys offers very quickly, and not having to worry about showings and this, that, and the third.
Yeah, because, I mean, I am a disabled veteran myself, but I don't get 100% or anything. But I can't safely drive from here the 75 or so miles down to the house. So I have to pay somebody or beg somebody to take me down there and bring me back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you wanted to see it, it would be somewhat of a difficult. The last person that saw it, they picked me up here, took me down there, and I let them in. They went around and looked around and all that. They brought me back.
Uh-huh.
I was part of the person that I was willing to sell it to. But, you know, it's a little difficult when the house is off by itself many miles away from where you live and you can't drive there.
Yeah, no, I can, you know, man, I definitely can understand that frustration. I mean,
Sister was said, well, we should rent it out. I said, are you going to be the one going down there to fix things and solve problems? I said, I can't run down there and do it.
Yeah. No, it's just a stalling point at this point. You know, got to find the reason why she's not willing to budge.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. Last October, when my brother was still alive, he was in a nursing rehab home. And every time I'd go see him, he'd say, have you sold the house yet? It was always on his mind. And I think that the stress of this being on his mind hastened his death.
Hmm.
So I lost my brother in April.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I was trying so hard to sell the house back in October last year.
I'm so sorry, sir.
It would have made him so much. He would have rested so much better.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I really am. It's pitiful when those things affect a life. Things so simple and so small, you know, affect a life. And you never really want
to. He's the one with the biggest stake in the house. He's the one. When my father died, my father had just bought the house about 5 years earlier. So he didn't have much equity in it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, nobody wanted to sell it right away. So my brother said, well, I'll keep the mortgage and everything paid. Says I might want it to retire. But his wife never agreed to retire, and then she passed away. And then I had to leave my house in Hyattsville and move into his house here in Oxon Hill National Harbor to care for him because his wife was gone. And he's diabetic and had reduced kidney function, so he had to have special low-salt, low-sugar-free meals, which you don't get from carryouts.
Yeah.
So I moved into his house in 2018, and I've been fixing him his meals and doing his laundry and fixing whatever broke in the house ever since 2018 until he died this year. And while I was here, my house has fallen into disrepair. I've got to get money. He left some in his will for me, but it's tied up in probate. So I can't restore my house until after that, which will probably be towards the end of next year. So presently, since he left his house to my little sister and our nephew, so it's their house technically, and they're letting me live here until then.
Got you. Well, I'm glad that
I'm in limbo.
Yeah, it sounds like a hard situation to be in.
So if this house is sold out of his share, which should be $100,000 plus, a third of that goes to me.
Yeah, and I know that would make a world of difference right now.
Yeah. And the rest of it goes to my little sister and my nephew, and the stubborn sister is entitled to somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 as her share.
Got you. And you know, it makes sense. I definitely want to contact Cheryl and really just you know, be that mediator, hopefully, to figure out what is the reason why she, you know, has stalled.
I asked her last fall, Cheryl, would you tell us what it is you want? I didn't put any limits on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell us what you want. She could have said, I want the house. I want $20,000. I want $75,000. She didn't say nothing.
Yeah. At this point, it's just, it's like six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Just get it done, and you're willing to do what you need to get it done.
Yeah. Because, I mean, to take her to court and sue her, we're probably going to have to pay an attorney $20,000
or $30,000. Yeah. That cuts everything out right there. So it is.
Yeah, may as well let it sit there and rot away. You know, almost.
And no one wants that, you know. But it's just, I mean, that's really a rough one. I wanna make sure I'm able to get in contact with Ms. Cheryl, best I can. I'm gonna try that number. Is there any individual in the family that is in good standing with Cheryl that could possibly hop on?
Well, I'm in reasonable. You know, she'll answer when I call. But I talked to her a few days ago.
Got you.
But if her mother calls, she will usually answer that. My mother's still alive. She's 99 and a half years old. But
oh, wow.
She usually pick up if her sister calls, but she just doesn't want to talk much about the house.
Yeah, no, I can understand, you know, that the touchy situation.
Last time I talked to her, she said, I want to sell it through an agent. I told her, I said, well, Mr. Pigott, the agent that sold it to Dad, I tracked him down years ago. I thought I told you. He's dead.
Yeah.
That was Long and Foster, I think.
Is there anyone who possibly is an executor, or is it all, you know, evenly split?
She put the house, right after Dad died, she went down and put all four names on the deed. There was no will.
Gotcha. So everybody.
Dad was not married when he died. And he had four kids. Me, my brother, and two sisters.
Gotcha.
So under state law, the house becomes the property of his children. Equally. So at the time of his death, he had about $60,000 worth of equity in it.
Gotcha.
And there was about $100,000 or so outstanding mortgage.
Gotcha.
My brother, for all the years up until last year when he paid it off in full, paid the mortgage every month. So his estate is due reimbursement for that as much as possible, practical.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that does make sense.
And all four of us are due a quarter of the equity that Dad had at the time of death, which means every person is still due at least $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it had been sold the day after he died and it had sold for their appraised value, everybody would have got $15,000 if there was no other closing costs, miscellaneous bullshit taken out of. So I say, since she has been down there a number of times, she bought some space heaters to put in there to keep it from getting too cold in the winter. give her $5,000 for whatever she's done. Although I'm sure she does not have any $5,000 worth of receipts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to give her $5,000 without asking for receipts. If she wants more than $5,000, yeah, I want to see the receipts. So
yeah.
Give her $20,000, all right?
Yeah, no, that does make sense. That definitely does.
And then my little sister, who is the executor of my brother's estate, so she has control of his interest. My little sister and my nephew and I are the only other parties involved. And we can agree on that.
Got you. And you know, that makes sense. It does. I'm going to...
We've been talking to an attorney, a Barry Keim in Alexandria,
mm-hmm.
about the possibility of having to file a suit.
And what is he saying towards that?
Well, basically, if we want him to do it, we got to prime the pump with about $7,000 or so. And he'll get started on it, but looks like it could cost $20,000 or more. So we haven't started on that yet. We just talked about it.
Got you.
But it's the things are getting put in place to go ahead with it.
Got you. That does make sense.
But I don't like having to sue my sister.
I can completely agree. I mean, that's the last thing you want to do is add in more parties to just figure out something so simple. So I definitely get it.
I said give her a few $1,000s extra if that's what it takes. But for some reason, she doesn't seem to be interested in the money factor because she's going to waste money running it through Long and Foster or Redfin or somebody like that. For something that you could just sell to some developer or flipper. She doesn't like flippers, I can tell you now.
Mm-hmm.
She's the type that would rather give away $5,000 or $10,000, it seems, rather than sell it to somebody that she knows is going to fix it up and sell it to somebody else. I said, Cheryl, no matter who you sell it to, you can't control what they do with it once they buy it. It's theirs.
Yeah.
And whether they flip it or whether they live in it, if you get the money, what's the difference, you know?
Yeah, you know, that does make a good amount of sense. And it's...
Somebody will live in it eventually.
And yeah, and a lot of the times, you know, the cost to sell is upwards of 20-30% anyway. So, you know, you're walking home with the same amount.
Yeah, oh no, we could have sold it three times over easy.
Yeah. Okay.
She seems to think, oh, it's worth $200. I said, yeah, after it's fixed up, after you put a new roof on it, clean it, paint it, put a new heat pump in it, maybe a new refrigerator. Yeah, then you can ask maybe $200,000. Not now.
Yeah.
Got to put some new front steps on it. The front steps on it were a carpenter's workshop dream out of wood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the 19 years of neglect, they've rotted away.
Yeah.
It's a front step set that two people can pick up and walk away with. But,
yeah.
You know? I mean, if I was living there, I'd make a farm and pour some out of concrete.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I like low maintenance steps, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to have to go back and work on it. So yeah, I can.
Yeah.
I do the same. I do the exact same. Here's my question to you, Mr. Curry. Do you know how to facilitate a three-way call at all?
I'm not sure. I've just got a new telephone provider. I'm on Xfinity Comcast right now.
Got you.
It's a house phone, not a cell phone.
Okay. Got you.
So So I don't know if I can put you on hold and try to call her or not, whether she would even stay on the line if I did succeed in doing it.
Got you. And
it might get down that I'll have to finally get with somebody and drive down to Newport News and physically appear at her house.
Yeah. Do a pop-up on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can... I don't want it have to go to those drastic measures, but
yeah.
I get, you know, you're at your wit's end with this. I definitely do. I'm going to attempt to keep calling Miss Cheryl.
You have a 681-7366 number. That's her phone number for her phone line in Montgomery County. And the other one is the phone number for her cell phone and whatnot at Newport News, where she should be today.
Got you.
And her husband is named Wilford. He, like I said, is a 100% disabled military veteran. He has schizophrenia, so he's not mentally all there.
Mm-hmm.
So if he answers the phone, consider that.
Got you. No, I definitely will do. Like I said, I'm just going to do my best to keep trying her and hopefully get a hold of
her. I guess what you need to do is get a hold of that number spoofing stuff. You know, that there are telemarketers that have got that now, where you can enter into the phone system a code that will make a number that is not really yours show up on the other party's phone.
Got you.
I learned about that about 10 years ago. I did it once. I have a friend that has a business, and his business is in Laurel, Maryland, and he lives in Delaware. And
mm-hmm.
I told him about it. I said, yeah, his name's Grady. I said, I'll show you how it works. I'm going to call you back, but it's going to show that it's coming from your shop in Laurel. So
mm-hmm.
he knew where I was. I was here. I was in Hyattsville, Maryland. So I hung up and I entered all these codes and whatnot, and I called him, and his phone rang, and he answered, yeah, since you're calling from the shop. I said, well, you know I'm not there.
Yeah.
Now, if you could do that, you could make it look like you're calling from her mother's house.
Yeah.
And she'd answer. But
yeah,
probably,
do what you got to do.
She'd probably get pissed off and hang up, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm like I said, I'm gonna do my best. So
all I can do is hope that Miss Cheryl will come around and see the logic and reasoning, and
yeah.
realize that her little sister and her little brother are not as financially endowed and affluent as she is. And we need to get rid of it and get the money so we can put it to use. Well,
yeah.
I got a call. It might be my doctor. Okay, I'm going to have to go.
Okay. All right. I appreciate you your time, but I'll give her a call.
All right.